intrinsic chemical composition. So our weathering starts off then as physical, where we're breaking a large piece of rock down into small particles. So a cracking of a rock can occur then via water getting into a slight existing crack. And in a place like the centre of Australia, where we get these big extremes in temperature, so you've got that water in the winter freezing at night. That freezing causes an expansion in the crack that opens up the crack, and then during the day you get the other end of the temperature extreme, and that just helps break them apart. Glaciers are famous examples of taking large chunks of rock and grinding them up. So quite a few guys all been to a glacier and sort of heard the grinding sort of a sound as it sort of, yeah, it's worth a go. You don't go too close to glaciers in New Zealand, otherwise you can have some bad experiences. And landslides is the other one. There's been a few spectacular landslides in NZ as well. When I was going through uni, there was a whole house that fell down into one landslide. There was a sinkhole developed, a landslide ensued, and then a house dropped into it. It was quite cool. Nobody died, but it was great. So that's just a process of physical weathering of the soil structure. Now, chemical then, we've got our water, made acidic, attacking the basic rocks. We've got gases, such as oxygen. Oxygen then is an oxidant. Now, in the atmosphere, we're saying that the hydroxyl radical is the most powerful oxidant, but oxygen's still an oxidant. There's plenty of ozone out there. There's now a lot of attention going on to the amount of ozone that's present in the troposphere, because ozone's a decent greenhouse gas. And for many years, people were more focusing on ozone being a smog chemical. That was the concern in the troposphere. But it's now being realised that actually there's a lot more ozone out there than people had expected. They're now starting to do quite a lot of systematic measurements of methane fluxes, ozone fluxes, and nitrous oxide fluxes, because all of these are good greenhouse gases, and ozone's definitely in the picture. So these processes then will take a stable piece of primary mineral bound up in a rock. That material then stable under low pressure and high temperature. Stable under high pressure and high temperature conditions becomes unstable under the low pressure temperature conditions of the Earth's surface. So we change that primary mineral then via alteration into a secondary mineral. In the course of that, the nature of the formula for these two things will change, and so you solubilise certain components. Now, these mechanisms for chemical weathering, you'll be relieved to know that the more complicated looking ones are on your formula sheet that you get for the exam or the test. So, and in fact, I think I'm pretty generous. I think I even give you dissolution, which is simply taking halite and putting it in water, and you get iron. But the thing is, you have to remember that's halite. You have to remember that that's iron pyrite, calcite. So these are all about taking a mineral and putting it through the process of chemical weathering. You'll be pleased that the fourth example then I've given you. So which particular mineral was this one here?